Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, with your host, Adam Emmert.
Is he half, like, cowboy, half Japanese? Nope. Like, who is this guy?
And Jared Tim.
Do you imagine John Elway riding Thunder? I love Thunder.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, your undefeated Seahawks and Broncos podcast. I am your co-host, Seahawks fan, Adam Emmert. The man sitting across from me is about 10 times peppier than me today. Broncos fan, Jared Tim. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm kind of looking forward to this next week, too. We play the participants of the toilet bowl that just happened. So,
yeah,
you know, pretty relaxed week. I don't, you know,
we get Jacksonville and Oakland, who had played each other the previous week. And,
I can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, wins for everyone. Yeah.
That's so right. I think collectively, both of our divisions are improved even over last year.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you and San Francisco are always at the top of the list.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the AFC West was 4-for-4 yesterday.
It's true. It's
so,
true. Well, cool. Good. Yeah. Well, we're going to get into a few things here today, folks. You know, coming at you today from a blustery Missoula, Montana, we're reviewing the Bayern Brewery. How do you like me now? Got Bayern right out of the gate, so screw you.
Oktoberfest
lager. And, yeah. Yeah, like as we stated on the last podcast, this is the best Oktoberfest.
I think so too. I haven't had a lot better.
And I'm fucking tired, and so it was easy to get that beer from just down the street. So that's the way we roll there.
Adam rolled over to Seattle this weekend. Got the game.
Yeah, drove back today.
A schlobber knocker of a game.
Schlobber knocker. Just totally gassed. But I'm bringing it for you folks today. I'm bringing it.
You're trying.
I am. I'm mustering. I'm rallying.
Sound like you smoked like 30 packs of cigarettes. Lost the voice. That's good though. You know, yeah. if you didn't lose your voice, I would have kicked you in the balls the minute I saw you.
And if you hadn't, I would have kicked you in the balls back because I would have deserved it. So yeah, we're going to go over
fair ball crunch.
Yeah. We're going to go over the Seahawks dominating win, the Broncos dominating win. We're going to have the beer review somewhere in between there. And then as always, we're going to finish up with the growing in popularity segment, the NFL segment.
The NFL segment, where be sure to get your picks into us before the Thursday game.
Correct. And I will try to get the form up there early this week to submit your picks. It's very easy. You just go to A Flock of Donkeys, D-O-N-K-I-E-S, on Facebook. Super easy to find. If you can't do it, you're fucking retarded, and that's not my fault.
we don't want you a part of this anyways.
No, exactly. So
yeah, it's easy, man. You don't have to use a keyboard. Just click some buttons.
Yeah.
Picks are in.
That, yeah.
You're registered. You know, unless you want to do your top five power ranking, which we enjoy looking at those.
Yeah, well, and we're going to get into that. I haven't even tallied the final picks yet. I know mine were abysmal, but
were pretty good.
I'll eat the appropriate amount of crow over that. So stay tuned for that NFL segment there at the end of the pod. We'll tally up the picks, see who is the winner. I know between Jared and I, it's looking like he's going to be setting the cover photo for Facebook.
So be sure to look at that. Broncos all over it.
But if you do, your retinas may burn. So I don't know. Do it at your own
with
risk.
With pleasure.
All right. So let's start out with a little bit of chicken scratch today, Jared.
I guess.
Yeah. You know, because
by default
and by the fact I was in the fucking stadium for the game, Jared, this was awesome.
Tell us about it.
Well, first off, I want to just thank Brandon Scholes, our good friend, for getting me hooked up for this game, too. And then also for getting the prime treat of being down on the sidelines before kickoff. That was freaking awesome.
And, you know, you told me you got close to Bob Costas. I remember getting a text from you. You're like, I'm literally, like, what is it, 5 or 20 feet, something like that, away from Bob Costas. I was like, I wonder if he's short.
He is short, but he's also a good looking dude for his age. Like, Bob looks all right.
Really? Takes care of himself, huh?
Yeah.
Good for Bob.
Yeah. No, he's cool. Him and the always smiling Hines Ward was sitting next to him. So
I like Hines Ward.
That was cool. So got to see a little bit of him. And then during pregame warmups, Sidney Rice came running down on a sprint drill and right
proposed to Adam.
I proposed to him. But, you know, pointed out, I was like, yeah, Sidney! And he comes running up. I was like, kill him today, brother! And he's like, yeah! And he gives me a high five. And when our palms touched, his fingers went 3/4 of the way up my forearm. It's fucking huge. But that was kind of exciting. So that was pretty fun. Clint Gresham also came down the line, kind of said hi to everybody, gave a little dap there. So that was
nothing
fun.
Like some snapper love.
Yeah. The night before, we went to the Seahawkers, which is the official booster club's like big yearly party. That was a lot of fun. Richard Sherman's mom was there. I got to talk to her a bit. One of the things she said is I said, you know, thank you for your beautiful son. He's fucking awesome. And she laughed.
And then Adam proposed to her.
No, she proposed to me.
Yeah.
But she goes, yeah, no, he's great. You know, he runs his mouth a little bit too much, though. And I was like, no, he doesn't.
Champ Bailey would agree with that woman.
I said, no, he doesn't. Have him keep it up. She's like, I'll let him know. So thank you very much, Mrs. Sherman. You are an absolute doll. That was pretty cool. We also bumped into Michael Crabtree's dad while we were going to breakfast the morning before, which was interesting. Just as surly as you might think, but he's in enemy territory. I don't blame him.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah. So those are all kind of fun experiences. But one of the first things I noticed about the game while I was standing on the sideline just before kickoff was the Niners' demeanor on the sideline. This is something that really stood out to me. There wasn't a word amongst them. Like they, I mean, I was maybe 10 yards from the bench and they were just all staring forward, blank stares, not a word, no energy.
But do you think they could have even heard each other had there been words spoken?
Yeah, there actually at that point you could have. This was just before the national anthem. Right. So the stadium wasn't loud at all. So the one guy that was kind of going around and talking to guys was Kaepernick. But it wasn't like he was giving you a little fiery, like, let's go, you know, and like getting you fired up. He was very big. Hey, man, you know, you should catch the ball a lot this game. That'd be really cool. Another guy would be like, what? Oh, yeah, okay. And that was about that intensity. And then he'd just walk off.
One thing that I wonder about is, do you think this is a product of Harbaugh just being intense enough for everyone?
Maybe.
And maybe, because I know you are a...
the mindset.
A big believer that Harbaugh's really going to kind of fizzle out here. He's going to overdo it with people. They're going to be, he's too excited all the time. He's going to burn everybody out. Maybe this is a product of it.
I think it is. I mean, he's Rex Ryan West. I mean, I've said that a bunch of times.
Yeah, he is.
It's going to be the same story with him. But yeah, that was an interesting observation, you know, just kind of their demeanor before the game. I mean, the Hawks were freaking fired up. I mean, but
yeah, and so were the. So was the stadium. I remember watching the pregame for that, and Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth come on, and something was going on in the stadium pregame, and the crowd was raucous, and yes. So Al Michaels is shouting, and then whatever was going on down on the field that the crowd was so excited about had ended, and they were finally a little more subdued, and Al Michaels was still shouting at the top of his lungs, and he was just shouting at the camera, and there's nothing going on in the background, and he starts to chuckle. He goes, I'm sorry, it's a little loud, you know, or something like that, but yeah. It was funny because,
that is funny.
You know, on a lot of games, these stadiums aren't designed really to have an effect in the booth, but this stadium is so loud that it does.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool to see, you know, all these guys having a tough time with, you know, and Michelle Tafoya, of course, stands like 10 feet away from the microphone.
Right. With
her
cardboard cutouts. Can you hear me?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah. So.
No, that was interesting. Now, this is a game, when you ask me, you know, what stood out about the game, one of the things that stood out is the crowd did affect this game. I mean, it really did.
They did from the first quarter.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. And one of the funnier things to me, you know, regarding the crowd was once we had the weather delay and they get the players off the field and all that. Everybody's just kind of milling around. A lot of guys kind of went inside, you know, maybe half the stadium's full. Mm-hmm. And they start putting on Collinsworth up on the screen while he's talking. He's like, I think this weather delay is going to benefit the 49ers because the fans had all this energy and now they don't and blah, blah, blah. I didn't get to see it on the replay because they cut it out. But I want to know if you guys could hear the massive amount of booing that came directly after that comment. It was loud.
You could hear every subtle change between the time that the offense would take the field and they would quiet down or the defense came on the field. It was loud and you could hear those fluctuations.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like the Broncos fans booing Ryan Seacrest. It was hard to ignore.
Awesome. Because fans were pissed. And when we came back, that's when we broke the sound record. We beat the record for loudest stadium in the entire world.
Oh, man.
We beat out some fucking turkey people. So, not jive turkey gobblers, but like people from Turkey.
I can't believe it took so long for that reference to come out.
Yeah. So I feel pretty good. That fit right in. I say that a lot, by the way. But point being is that...
You wish.
The stadium, it was every bit as raucous as advertised. You know, we were right down there at kickoff when things are real loud. And it's not the loudest thing I've ever heard. I grew up on the end of a fucking runway. Like, literally, like, my bedroom was maybe 100 yards from the end of the runway. I swear to Christ.
You know, but other than jet engines over the top of your head, I think this was probably pretty good.
Right. I'm just saying I have experience with it. And this was pretty loud. So that was cool. They crushed the record. Way to go, Seahawks fans. You are indeed the rowdiest. But first quarter starts out. And this game, especially the first half, this is exactly what these two teams are. Try to establish a run and beat the fuck out of you with their defense. And I think that's exactly how this played out.
It seemed like you guys at the beginning of the game were just, both teams were prepared to just trade blows in the beginning of the game to see who could try and wear each other out. And then it became, in that, you know, later on, then of course, that's when the game opened up. Well, you know, you'll talk about that later. But yeah, in the beginning of this game, this was just one match where you're like, you hit me, I'll hit you, and we'll see who's going to wear down quicker, basically.
Exactly. Where do you want the pain?
Mine. You can't use that.
Huh? I'm stealing it for this one time.
It was a slobber knocker, man.
It was a slobber knocker. And it was fun to watch because that's the brand of football that the Seahawks play with, is in your face, smash mouth. Fuck you. You can't do anything against us, especially in the passing game. Holy cow. Yeah. Defense. I want to start out by talking about the defense because they were by far the best unit out of the three today or yesterday. And
I think the first two games they were.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And they were even better in this game than in the Carolina game. You know, they held Kaepernick to 127 passing yards. That's abysmal. I think that's less than Cam Newton.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I think Cam had like, 170 something?
Yeah.
Maybe that was it?
Yeah. And three picks. Three picks. Each one of the playing Legion of Boom had a pick in this game.
This game was definitely a brutal one on Colin Kaepernick, and he was deflated after a little while. I don't expect him to play this bad, but also when you factor in how just fucking loud it is the entire time, and after a physical defense coming at you like that, he kind of seemed like he had that look on his face where he knew he was going to have to do it all himself the entire game.
It was a bit of that deer in the headlight look.
Yeah, and he had 87 rushing yards, but he couldn't get anything done through the air. And then you shut all of his runs down, and then he was just deflated after that.
Yeah, I think you could kind of see that after about the third possession for them, you know, because, you know, on that first drive that we had, we ended up punting, and we have the blocked punt. And
yep.
I actually missed this while I was getting back to my seats. And I didn't get to see it until the replay.
He had to use the ladies' room.
No, I was coming from the sidelines like a fucking baller. And and it took a while to get the fuck up there and get a beer.
When you have to stop the pee twice.
I have a small bladder, and I've been working with Joe Theismann for whatever drug it is he takes for that problem. What is that, prostate beta plus or
you.
Something like that?
Yeah, either way.
You know, when you get older, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I finally made it there after emptying myself and multiple times, apparently. And missed that. But how weird was that somebody from the sideline, a 49ers fan, blows a whistle?
That was bizarre. That was one of the most bizarre plays I've seen.
So how do they not call
the
offsides that happened before that even anyway? And then there's a personal foul almost, or what are they, unsportsmanlike or something along those lines? That should be called against it too.
That was a stretch where I was like, man, if I was a Niners fan or a Seahawks fan right now, I'd be like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. How are we getting hosed this early in the game?
It was tough. Every single call went against us in that first half, including some big-time non-calls as well. There was there towards the end of the second quarter, Wilson hands the ball off. I'm going to get this done, Jared. Fuck you. And I'm doing it pretty well to this point.
Today, Junior.
Today. So Wilson, he goes, hands the ball off to Lynch on the read option. It's that rule everybody's talking about where if you are just handing the ball off, you
can defenseless position or whatnot, right?
Yeah, whether you're, you know, in a passing position or in a running position, your running position, they can light you up. So Wilson gets lit the fuck up, which is fine because that's within the rule, except for the fact that Ahmad Brooks planted the crown of his helmet right in his fucking chest. That's leading with your helmet. That's a personal foul.
It's a personal foul. Yeah,
so that was the second big bad call. The next one on that was later in that drive, Wilson scrambles, slides, and I think it was Willis came in super late, hits him, and it wasn't that he hit him, it's that he drilled him in the head with his forearm.
Oh, yeah, his forearm. I did see that too.
Fucking bullshit. It was tough. They also had, we went for it on 4th-and-1 and gave us the shittiest spot in the history of spots. Yeah, I could see that from the stands, man. There was no way that wasn't a first down. And if you want to tell me that it was, or that it was fourth down, go fuck yourself.
You're just expecting me to disagree with you, aren't you? Just to fuck
That's
with you.
That's a preemptive go fuck yourself. So, yeah. But, you know,
I'm picking it up.
The first three out of the four drives, you know, killed off by penalties, random fucking ones here and there. You know, that's, again, frustrating. I mean, the guy that I ended up hanging out with while I was there, he was just as frustrated. Everybody was. I mean, every penalty, it was unbelievable how many that we ended up with, but just a bunch of shitty calls. And first score of the game is a safety. Go up 2-0 in the top of the second.
Down that holding call in the end zone.
The holding call in the end zone. And that was a bad holding call on Brad Miller there. That was super, super obvious. And it was
he just tackled the dude on his back.
Yeah.
Like, he was on the dude's back and tackled him to the ground. There's no more obvious holding than that.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was pretty interesting there. You know, and on that play itself, you had, I believe it was Malcolm Smith who just put a sick spin move to get to the quarterback there. And if he's not tackled, he blows Kaepernick up. You know, another guy that was in Kaepernick's face all day was Michael Bennett. That whole defensive line, our pass rush was ferocious in this game as compared to the first game. I really feel
it was a lot better. And, you know, kind of one of those reasons I think the 49ers offensive line is a little overrated. Because, I mean, you guys just destroyed them completely.
We're the only one that destroys them.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's a new year. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'm just saying to this point, we're the only one that destroys them.
In two games, okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the sample size. I mean, do you want me to make up games?
No, I'm just saying I think that they're going to be overrated. That's my opinion about it. Is that not okay?
Yeah, it's not okay because there's a lot of first-round talent on that line, and there's a lot of people that would make the argument that that's the best offensive line in football.
Okay. I don't think it's the best offensive line in football.
Is the Denver Broncos the best offensive line in football?
I think they're a top five easily, definitely.
I think they're a top five, too. I think you could make the argument. I just figured that's where you're going with that.
Oh, no, huh? I just don't think the 49ers offensive line is as good as advertised.
Oh, well, who is the number one offensive line in your eyes?
I don't know. I haven't even thought about that. I'd have to go through all the teams. We don't got time for that shit.
Okay.
I'll come back to that with that NFL segment. We'll go over that.
Okay, cool. I was just curious. All right. So Michael Bennett, he was just disruptive, like I said, just in the backfield all around Kaepernick all day. We chased him all over the place because the coverage was freaking outstanding.
Yeah, you guys covered well the entire game.
Richard Sherman, yeah, he's the best cover corner in football. Lock it up. It's done. You can tell right now. Anquan Boldin, 13 catches last game. Sherman shadowed him the whole game. You know how many catches he had?
Didn't he have just one?
One.
Yeah.
For 7 yards, and Sherman wasn't on him on that play. Yeah. It was awesome. That interception in the second half that was thrown, I was up there, and you could see Kaepernick winding up. You could see where he's going. I turned to the dude next to me. I was like, dude, he's all over this. This is a pick. And as it comes out of his hand, before it comes out of Kaepernick's hand, boom, Sherman picks it off. Fucking game changing right there. Where defense was just outstanding. Linebackers, that was
well, you guys definitely proved that you are the best defense in the NFL. I mean, without question. When this Green Bay or you know, the Niners beat this really good NFC Green Bay team, and then you came in and just pummeled the 49ers pretty much. I mean, when you look at the overall game, you guys were clearly the better team in this game. I think your defense had a lot to do with that against a defense that you guys wore them down. You guys wore this whole team down. So I think this game really proved to me that you guys are kind of setting the standard as far as defense goes in the NFL right now.
I agree. I mean, when you hold a team to 100 net rushing yards and 107 net passing yards, 207 yards of net offense,
that's either not good or really good, depending on which side of that you're on.
Well, I like being on this side of it because it feels fucking great.
But, man. I mean, to me, like that defensive performance, it's like that's what you want your team to do. Like,
that was dominating.
These are the players you want to model after here. This is the structure you want.
Yeah.
So.
Chris Averill.
Impressive.
Chris Averill made his return to this game, was just a man possessed. He's going to be a difference maker for us.
He played a lot, but he played awesome this
game. Can you imagine when it's Clemens and him opposite each other, and then they're taking Bruce from the linebacker spot and moving him around in there too? We're going to have a ferocious freaking pass rush with Michael Bennett, with his penetration, and Jordan Hill, which we're going to get back as well. That's the one thing that really impressed me about this defense is those guys I just rattled off there, we're not playing with as well. We didn't play with Browner either. Shut these guys the fuck down.
Yeah, I know what it's not like. I know what it's like to not have to have a couple of your defensive guys in there.
Yeah,
I'm familiar.
Yeah, exactly. But those are, you know, key cogs and guys that are just going to make the team better. You know, one thing that was really impressive is the way we shut down the tight ends. Vernon Davis wanted no part of this game.
Well, no shit, dude. It's like Cam Chancellor could have happened all over again.
Yeah, exactly. He heard the Cam train rolling around out there, and he wasn't going to do shit out there.
You know, he'll wait till week three to play.
Exactly. He was only targeted, or Anquan was only targeted twice, I think.
Kaepernick really looked like he would look at one route and then he'd run. Like that was what he was doing all game.
Well, and that speaks a little bit to the point that I heard Trent Dilfer make last week. And he said, I've said this to Colin himself, is that he's a remedial level quarterback. It's one, two reads, run. And he needs to be able to go through his progressions more to be a actual legitimate quarterback.
I mean,
in this league.
Did you even see him go to his third progression? I know I wasn't watching it too closely, but any of the ones where I was kind of paying attention or what he was doing, I didn't really think he went to any third progression reads at all.
If it was his third progression, it was only
the run.
Because he was running for his life and he just had to somehow start looking around just to find somebody.
Yeah.
And even then, I mean, one of the things that I think benefits us for playing Russell Wilson in practice every day is we're pretty good against that scramble drill shit.
Yeah, and you guys can defend the run pretty well. I mean, he did have 87 yards, which was pretty good, but you know, he couldn't do anything else.
A lot of those were on broken plays and things like that, and that's the hardest thing to defend. 10.
Well, and that's what Kaepernick brings to the table, too.
Of course.
That's just a part
of
it.
I'm fine with that. But when we hold Frank Gore to 16 yards,
that's pretty
good. I'll hang my hat on that every day. I mean, there was no running room for them in a traditional running situation. And, you know, just to watch us suck the will out of the 49ers was...
Yeah, that whole second half, you're just like, they don't even look like they want to play the rest of this game.
No, they didn't. They truly didn't. You know, Marshawn ended up with a big game, you know, kind of switching the offensive side of the ball a little bit. Ended up with 98 yards rushing, which, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot because it doesn't sound like 100, except for it's like 100.
It's a lot of yards nowadays in the NFL.
And he's done that for four straight games against the Niners now. You know, we did actually run the ball better against the 49ers than the Carolina Panthers, Jared. Should we put this on the douchebag wrong segment?
No.
No? No, we're...
Have
you
never been wrong?
No, I'm wrong all the time. I'm just saying.
I know. I got to swallow that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was a little low on you guys going into this game. I can admit it.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. I mean, the Niners, not only did we run the ball against them, but we fucking dominated them. And who did you have in this game?
I had the Niners in this game.
Who?
49ers, man.
The 49ers? Oh, okay. Like the fifth best team in football.
Yeah, the fifth best.
Fifth best. But. You know, Marshawn had the big game.
Everybody gets one game wrong. This was one I got wrong. My picks killed yours, so.
Oh, I got lots of games wrong this last week. It was a rough week for me. All at the last minute, it seems like. But
yeah, right.
Yeah. So it did. I don't know. But, you know, getting back to the offense, Marshawn, 3 touchdowns, 2 rushing, 1 receiving. The receiving one was hilarious because Russell tosses it out there, and he kind of looks around, and he trots over to the edge of the end zone, and he just stands there, and he's like, well, are one of you guys going to play? Oh, you're not? Okay. And he steps
that,
across the line.
That was kind of the point where you realized where the game was going to be headed the rest of the time.
Yeah, you knew over. from that point forward. The crowd did. You know, only being up 5-0 at the end of the second was interesting.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Seventh inning stretch, and it's 5-0.
And then we end up going up 12-3. And I was like, 12-3, seriously? You know,
another 12 points for the Seahawks.
I almost wanted that to be the finishing score. I thought that would have been freaking hilarious. But this is the exact type of game that we want to play, short of Russell Wilson probably having his worst game in his pro career, in my opinion. Not that he was terrible. There was a lot of drops and, you know, tight coverages and that sort of thing. But
you did say that I do remember you saying that this 49ers, these corners were kind of average at best.
Yeah.
And so one number really, really popped out at me, and this is kind of the question I have for you.
Yeah.
Was the number 3.
19?
No.
Oh.
The number 3.
Russell Wilson?
Well, as long as that equals the number of passes that he completed to wide receivers, that's it.
Yeah, the wide receivers were covered pretty well in this game.
So is it the there were some openings,
and
too.
There were a bunch of drops, too. You know, after I gave Sidney Rice still, the low 5, he drops the touchdown pass.
But still 3. I mean,
a bunch were called back on penalties as well. So that's something to keep
into
account.
I wouldn't say a bunch. I saw a couple, yeah.
Yeah, at least 3.
But so I guess my main concern is 3 is not a lot to your receivers.
Mm-hmm.
What is he seeing, or what were the 49ers taking away at that point?
Well, I think they wanted us to check down constantly all game. I mean, that was part of it.
So they were able to handle like your wide receiver load, though, as opposed to being a mediocre best, you know,
well,
kind of coverage team. Are they a little better then?
If you want to go ahead and concentrate completely on our receivers, then we'll pick you apart with the tight ends. If you concentrate on any position group in the NFL and you have any sort of talent like the 49ers do, being, you know, arguably the third best defense in the league, you know, they can take away one position group, and that's what they did. They took away one position group, and we beat them with every other one.
Okay, that's
fair.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just whatever your strategy is on that, and that was their strategy. They keyed hard on Marshawn as well, but couldn't stop him, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Turbin had a couple nice runs as well. Christian Michael didn't even suit up for this game.
You probably won't see him until there's an injury to one of your top 3 guys.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably true.
And Spencer Ware's getting carries too, so.
Yeah. But, yeah, one of the biggest passes of the game, kind of, you know, to your point, was Marshawn Lynch's 35-yard catch on one of our first half drives there. That was one of those that you're finally like, God, okay, they finally got something going. But Doug Baldwin only had one catch after, you know, having a good game last week. But guess what it was for? A third down conversion on a third down and 12. And it was a huge one. So,
well, and one of the other things that I kind of wanted to go along these lines are, yo, he had a rough game, and I know the defense is, I guess this gives more of a credit to San Francisco's defense.
Sure.
At this point, but when you look at what an Aaron Rodgers does to a San Francisco defense compared to what a Russell Wilson does. You know, sure. Aaron Rodgers completely torched him. You know, threw for a high percentage, a couple of touchdowns, like 333 yards. And then, you know, Russell Wilson can only find his receivers three times. It's just...
Well, he found him more than
that. There's a difference.
We discussed what happened with those, but yeah.
Whatever. There were three completions to your receivers. You know, you can call it what you want. Drop balls, well, that's on your receivers, or, you know, misplays, whatever. But I think it goes to say...
It's not that, like, he can't find him or he can't target him. You know, it's not his fault if the receiver doesn't catch the ball. Like, I don't know how you pin that on him.
Well, all I'm saying is that this kind of gives you the difference between an Aaron Rodgers and a Russell Wilson at this point in their careers.
Oh,
like, there's
hey.
The tier there and there's a level. So I think playing the Niners defense twice, you know, these two teams playing the Niners defense twice in as many weeks, I think you kind of get to see just where they're at as far as their careers and their season and kind of where Russell Wilson has to go. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. You know, I'm not trying to get all offensive on you.
And I'm not offended. I wouldn't agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more on this, because you look at the top four quarterbacks in this league, and you can put them in any order, but Aaron Rodgers, I believe, is the best.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's
Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. And is Russell Wilson not in their category as far as a pure thrower at this point in his career? No. No, he's not. Can he throw up a 320-yard game like he did in the last game against the Carolina Panthers and torch a defense? You bet. Can he do it every single game like an Aaron Rodgers? No. But he brings other aspects to the game that those other quarterbacks don't, with his legs and that running dimension. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is mobile to a degree, but he's not Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he
had
a few
mobile.
Running yards too.
Yeah. I mean, but he's not Russell Wilson mobile. And, you know, it's just, it's a difference in style of play a little bit too. You know, Russell Wilson's never going to look like those guys and put up numbers.
I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about sheer effectiveness and efficiency against the same defense. You know, it's a good comparison to go off of in these first couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to look at. I'm definitely not going to be the first one to tell you that the passing game looked good in this game. I mean, we didn't. We have work to do.
Yeah, there's some work to do.
Part of that is Russell Okung goes out with a toe injury. I think we're right around the end of the first quarter. That's tough. I mean, he's our Pro Bowl left tackle and out. So we shift McQuiston over to left tackle and end up putting Carpenter in at guard. Carpenter had a good game, and that was great to see.
Yeah, he finally did.
But McQuiston got beat badly by Alden Smith a few times. Not to say that...
That's going
to
happen.
I mean, it's Alden Smith.
It's going to happen.
When Justin Smith is playing. So, yeah, then he's good. And that was a little tough, but... You know, with that said, we imposed our fucking will on these guys. I was pretty pleased with, you know, all three phases of the game. Special teams played well. They forced a fumble towards the end of the game. Golden had a few nice returns. Offense wasn't their prettiest showing, but anytime that you throw 29 points on the board, that's a good game.
I agree.
Yeah. So I think that showed that the differences between the Seahawks and 49ers performances in week one weren't nearly that different as everybody was saying. You know, you see these two teams match up the next week, and one clearly dominated.
Yeah, it was a pretty dominating performance, actually.
Yeah. So, but all we did was hold serve. We still have to go to San Francisco. That is still going to be a tough game.
It's going to be a tough game on the road. And I don't really expect Colin Kaepernick to throw that many picks again.
No.
You know, I still don't see them as being a better team than you guys by any means. But
no,
you know,
but they're
maybe
a damn good
a little
one.
Closer.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a closer game.
Yeah.
But then again, who knows?
Hard telling, you know, you never know. But so, yeah, that's kind of everything I had to say about that game. Oh, other than as I was down on the sidelines, I literally brushed elbows with Walter Jones, and that was pretty exciting.
Nice.
Yeah. I hope I didn't give him the Emmert bounce, too.
Probably did.
Fuck.
It's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Have we described the Emmert bounce on here?
Do people know?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's hard to really describe and really comprehend, but basically if it's almost like Murphy's Law, but it applies to me, and it's more with, say you were to hit a golf ball down the middle of a fairway, it hit like a sprinkler head and a goose and end up in a water hazard. Like, that's pretty much how it goes.
I've seen something very close to that happen.
Yeah. You can confirm this is a real thing. So, and I think it's transferable, like that one movie with John Goodman, like he was the evil spirit and he touched people and it just go from person to person.
Yeah, I don't think I've made any sort of contact with you in the last year, actually, to try and prevent this.
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that, but the restraining order might be one, but
there's a bulletproof glass wall right between
us.
Yeah,
this is monitored by the police. But everything I had to say about that fun game. Loved hanging out with Chris. Just a little shout out to you, buddy, if you end up listening. He was fucking hilarious. I told him this is a podcast where we smoke, swig, and swear, and he said back, how'd you know all the rules to my life? And
I think we're in the majority there at this point.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's a good dude. So we may have him on later. He was fucking hilarious. He gave me a 3-point tutorial on how to get laid every time. It's pretty funny. We might talk about that.
Don Juan. I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
All right.
So
do you want to talk about the Jags at all?
I was going to do it quickly. We talked about the Niners game quite a bit. So
there's a lot to talk about. You know, that's a big divisional game, and this is, you know, the worst of the toilet bowl. This is the loser of the toilet bowl you guys are playing.
Wow, they're the worst team in the league. They're coming to the best team in the league's house.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, what's there to really say? We're going to fucking destroy them. We'll probably play a lot of backups. I don't even see any of these guys that are injured that we've just been kind of nursing. None of them come back this week.
Yeah. You know, I did watch the Raiders-Jags game because we play the Raiders, and they're a divisional opponent, so I thought I'd watch I watched most of the game.
As much as you could tolerate.
But there's one thing about the Jags is that, you know, they're not a dirty team. They're not going to get penalized a lot. They just don't have talent anywhere.
Right.
You know, Chad Haney really didn't play bad, and I think if he had a good team, he'd be all right. But, you know, they just don't have any contain on defense. They can't run the ball. They can't pass protect. You know, they're not a good football team. That's all I can say.
They're not. And it's I don't even want to predict a margin because we'll see T-Jack in this game. That's all I got to
say. Yeah, you'll put some backups in. This is a backup experience game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Think of this as preseason game number 5. That's all there is.
There you go. You get, that's like a bye week.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is that classic trap game in a way. You know, you play your biggest rival, you know, blah, 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 blah.
I don't believe in the whole trap game thing. This is just...
Not when the disparity is this
teams
big.
Teams don't do that, really. They don't lose those games
Not
anymore.
When the disparity is this big.
I mean,
so.
You could have considered the Denver-Baltimore game a trap game, but it's just sometimes you lose a game.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Trap or not, fuck you. Yeah. Sometimes you lose.
We're not losing this game.
Nope.
There's no possible way. I mean, I love Gus Bradley. Like, bless his little heart down there doing the best he can, like the little engine that could. Yep. But
you know, I would like to say that 99 times out of 100, you'll win this game, but it's more than that.
Okay. I did just have one thought, though. So
just one. That's all he's got today, folks.
Yeah, no, I don't have multiple. God.
Not even words.
Not even words.
Words, thoughts.
I don't even have singular words to spit out here, let alone have one singular thought. But the one singular thought that I did manage to muster was that think of how many ex-Seahawks are on that team. How much insider information do they have about this team and what we do? Do you think that affects the game at all?
Everybody's got tape on what you guys are doing. Everybody's got tape on what everybody's doing. It's all about execution at that point. You know a lot of the formations that are coming at you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of putting it together and putting 11 guys on a defense to put it together.
Do you maybe know tendencies a little bit more or having?
Yeah, a little
guesses?
Bit. I would. It almost depends on how much time you put with your former team and how many of the former team are still on the team because you guys have had the highest turnover in the last, 4 to 5 years than anybody.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think there's a little bit of that, but players are constantly going from one team to the other. You know, Darrell Revis said he was going to share the Jets' secrets. I was like, they have a secret? What the fuck would that be?
Yeah, everybody knows that Rex Ryan has a foot fetish and has a Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, I can't believe that somebody took it seriously. Oh, he's going to share the Jets' secrets. Like, good, maybe they'll win a game. And they did.
They did.
And the Jets won a game.
Aw.
Secrets up.
Everybody gets a trophy, Jared.
Right? Thanks for participating, New York. You know, so how much of that goes into it? I don't know. I think you're either going to outplay him or you're not. I don't know if the Jags even score, you guys.
See, we didn't play our best game in the San Francisco game. We didn't play our best game in the Carolina game. And those two teams are significantly are better. If we don't play our best game in this game, I still think we win.
But the thing about playing your best game, I mean, you also got to think about what the other teams are taking away from you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you got to give them credit. So
I do.
To beat a San Francisco team 29-3.
Yeah.
That seems pretty fucking good. You know, I know there were miscues and stuff, but a lot of that was San Francisco just doing their thing on D. So
you
guys were impressive, man, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You guys ran the ball pretty well. You were physical. This, you know, the same thing happened the last time the Niners and the Seahawks played. You guys just fucking blew them over at one point, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Just kind of wore them down.
Yeah, go back to San Francisco. thanks for playing.
Yeah, I hope Ricardo Lockett's still Kaepernick's roommate so he can kind of help hug him and cry himself to sleep tonight. So, with one eyebrow missing.
I hope to God he does that.
He doesn't do it.
You know, they played that Madden commercial during the game.
Right?
He's got to do it.
You got to do it. How do you not do it? I would have totally drinking coconut milk if we had lost that bet.
Oh, yeah, but that's a little... I could pound a coconut milk. I'd prefer not to shave my eyebrow off.
Whatever. If you're calling Kaepernick, it's not like you're not going to be getting ladies because you have one of your eyebrows shaved
That's
off.
True. You're like, fuck it. I got one eyebrow. What do you care?
In fact, that probably only increases your cred because you got the nuts to follow through on a bet, unlike Aaron Rodgers.
You know, I hope there's some uproar if he doesn't do this. I hope people are pissed.
Yeah.
Hold him accountable.
And honestly, if the Hawks would have lost and Russell wouldn't do it, I would have panned him for it too. Because a bet's a bet.
You have to hold him accountable.
Especially when it's videotaped.
It's videotaped.
And played
on
national TV.
On record. I saw it and heard it with my own eyes and ears.
Yeah. So I don't think Chad Henne or Blaine Gabbert has any bets with Russell Wilson for this game.
Probably not.
No. because they'll lose, and that'd be sad for them.
I mean, the Jags might get some points, maybe a kick.
Well, I don't know. We were holding opponents to an average of 5 points a game, so
yeah, that's
and they're averaging 5 points a game on offense, so you know, we'll see what happens.
Maybe they'll get a field goal.
We might give them one just so they feel good.
Or some random thing happens. You guys throw, you know, a snapped punt through the back of the end zone. Maybe it's a two-point.
Oh, yeah. Or Max Unger has another fucking low snap like he did in this game. That's two games in a row. He's had three of those now. What the hell is going on with our Pro Bowl center?
I don't know.
Fuck.
Our original backup center's playing awesome.
Right? I mean, what the fuck? I don't understand. There's all these just weird fucking things. That's what I'm saying. When we don't play our best game, we do these fucking weird things. It's like
you can't beat yourself.
It's like we're always having a like mild Decker game, you know? Like,
hey, he rebounded this game. Let's leave Decker out of this. I know. Right? He got over his. You get over yours.
Well, we did 29-3. So it's good. So yep, that's everything I have to say. I think
good. I'm tired of talking about the Seahawks.
All right, fantastic. I'll never be. But up next, we're going to be reviewing the Bayern Oktoberfest Lager. It is the best Oktoberfest lager. So if you want to know more about it, come back and don't be fucking lame. See you soon. All right, welcome back, folks. Time for the beer review.
Yeah, I remember last week we said we were going to start doing beers that were a little more accessible to everybody.
Right, but this was the most accessible to me as I was tired as fuck and
didn't
want to go for it.
Yeah, so we're going to go selfish and drink one of our one of my favorite beers, actually.
Yeah, I would put it right up there. This is, it's definitely one of my favorite beers, and it's so close by, and it's, I think the mountain range that is on the front of here, does that or does that not look like the Mission Range? I think it does.
Yeah, that definitely is.
Now, the Mission Mountain Range here in Montana is basically my holy place, and it is the most beautiful, amazing spot in the world. And
besides the Beartooth. But they're both equally
amazing. I
don't know.
You kind of conceded that when we went up to Grey Wolf Lake.
Oh, no, I don't think I did.
No, you didn't say, oh, I see what you're talking about. You win? Those words didn't come out of your mouth?
I don't think there was like a competition of winning.
No, it wasn't. And I didn't think there was, but you said it, and I was kind of surprised by it.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right.
Okay. But at least Scott.
Don't come to Montana. This place sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we argue
terrible.
Over our shitty places.
Yeah, we have bad beer too that we're going to talk about. So don't worry about it. But yeah, so the Bayern Oktoberfest, an interesting beer in the fact that it is brewed via the Brewers Guild of Munich's beer code. Brewers Guide of Munich. That's what it is.
Yep.
No, Brewers Guild of Munich.
There it is.
There it is. It's like the Lollipop Guild. Only
how well can Adam read a label?
Well, it's itty bitty fucking text on diamond, contrasted paper. It's fucking impossible to read.
A 1981 sweater background.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's the Brewers Guild of Munich standards that it's brewed to, which was established back in 1815. So one thing about the dude that owns the brewery is that he's actually from Germany. And so he brews things, you know, in that manner.
His German beers are good.
It's really good. It is. They say it's a classic German style dark Märzen. Is that what I decided that was pronounced as?
I don't know. I heard you go through four different things. And I just kind of hope you're going to do that again. Have that internal battle go on with yourself because it was fun to witness.
I sounded like Archer when he like blows out his eardrum and puts his hand up to his ear. Just couldn't come up with an enunciation there. But, it's not too sweet. A little malty. It's got a nice hop flavor. It's good beer.
It's all good right, beer. Billy Mays. No, I love the beer, though. Yeah, it's one of those transitions, summertime to wintertime. Oktoberfest is good. Let's do the drink. What's the drinkability scale on this for the Chicas?
Oh, that's a good question, because I think this is actually relatively high on the drinkability scale. I do, because it's they say it's not too sweet, but it is sweet-ish. And,
it's got the sweet aftertaste.
Yeah, it's kind of in that, almost in that summer honey mold or, you know, something along those lines.
But darker?
Yeah, but darker. And a little richer. I would give this...
Yeah, Summer Honey, go ahead and give them another reference they won't understand.
Well, fuck. Well, give me another popular beer with fucking honey in it that's sweet.
I don't know. I don't think it's
exactly.
That
so
sweet.
That's why I went with the Summer Honey. But no, it's not that sweet.
Sweet.
Just saying it's in the sweet range. Jesus, man. No, dude, I disagree with everything you say, though, even though I agree with it.
Well, I don't think it's as sweet as Summer Honey.
No, it's not. But it's sweeter than, say, like fucking Guinness.
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's all I'm getting at.
What's your drinkability?
Eight, motherfucker.
I'm pulling the right strings today, man.
Yeah, because I'm like practically unraveled at the seams already.
I told you better be ready for this.
I'm doing okay.
I told you,
I'm doing okay for being on my B game. You rested all weekend.
Fuck. Yeah, a little bit.
Exactly.
I got it as a 7. I'm serious. I got it as a 7. I think it
said that, and that was mid-drink. I almost fucking died there.
I think I put it as a 7 because, you know, it's got a little bit of a sweeter finish, but the first taste is a little dark.
Yeah. Okay.
And so chicks tend to be turned away from dark beers. Not all of them. There are a lot of women who love awesome beers and love you.
Some ladies like all sorts of dark things, but, you know, they if you don't tell them it's dark, they might not know it's dark.
Yeah, coming out of the bottle, they might be fooled.
Yeah, they don't know. So, yeah, full of chica. See how it goes for you. But this beer would work well for what I found out are the 3 guaranteed steps to get laid from Chris at
I can't wait to hear these.
First thing he says is, A, work out. B, get her drunk. 3, don't be a pussy.
That sounds about right.
I think that sounds
pretty good.
I think he's onto something here.
I think he knows the steps.
Yeah. So that works out. So this beer would fall under phase 2 or B, depending on which scale you go on, because I've mixed them both there.
2B.
Two B. Get her drunk.
Okay. Words of wisdom from Adam's random friend that he met in Seattle.
Dude, he's fucking hilarious, man. I'm telling you. We're going to get him on this pod.
All right.
So, yeah, that'd be my drinkability scale. There's your surefire for me to get laid if you're in a dry spell.
Man, people are just educated listening to this. I know I am.
All the pertinent information you need
I
to
now
know
the steps to being Don Juan.
Were none of the ladies Don Juan anything to do with you? Well, see, you thought I didn't have anything in me today.
You don't.
Just zinged it. Yeah, you look at your notes there because we're coming up with some donkey spit next, folks.
And it's going to be good.
All right, stay tuned. All right, and we're back, folks. Time for some donkey spit because they happen to win 2 and be undefeated. Congratulations on that, Jared.
Yep. We're winning big time. We're scoring an average of 45 points a game at this point.
Yeah, you beat him like an older brother.
Manning Bowl number 3.
Yeah.
Peyton is now 3-0 against his younger brother.
Yes, he is.
And this was pretty dominating after the second half, really.
It
was close up until then. And, you know, the Giants were doing a lot of good things. We had, you know, we got out of rhythm there in the second quarter. But, you know, other than that, what a fucker. I don't even, what a dick. Burping on my fucking donkey talk here. What an ass.
You forgot to.
What an ass. All right. I'm going to okay, moving on.
I had nothing today, remember?
That's right. Okay. But, I mean, one of the things that we're doing with these teams was we're facing them into a shootout because we've given up 88 yards on the ground in 2 games. We gave up like 20 today.
Yeah.
Or yesterday, whenever the fuck that game was. 23 or some shit.
When you have Peyton Manning running your offense, you're going to create a lot of shootouts because, you know, one thing that he does is score fucking points.
Yep. And our defense is good enough to limit people to basically under our grand total. Right. So anytime we can get a team into a shootout, we're not really going to lose that game.
So basically what you're saying is that your team scores a lot of points and your defense is allowing you to keep them so that they have less points. And therefore
they have less
you
points,
win.
Yes. That is exactly our formula.
So what you're saying is when you score more points than them, you win.
And we're keeping it simple.
Wow.
Yeah.
Groundbreaking.
Apparently my team is as simple-minded as me.
Call Mike Wallace. It's a 60-minute
score more points and you will win the game. You know? So I like it. I mean, what we've done with these first two teams, is the same exact thing. We'll come out in the first half, we kind of get a feel, see what they're doing, and then the second half is just completely over.
True.
You know, the Giants got the ball first in the second half, and we just completely took over.
Well, you know, it was weird. I don't know what was going on in that game. I mean, I don't know if they were trying out Vaseline the Wonder Jelly on the ball, because between both teams, there were a shit ton of drops. Fumbles.
There were. And
it was a little sloppy that first half.
Was a big part of that, too. You could tell it was coming over the west side of the stadium. They were having a tough time seeing the ball. I mean, both teams. Hakeem Nicks dropped one like that. Eric Decker dropped one like that. So that was a factor. You could tell they were just looking at it, just couldn't see it.
Dude, that excuse doesn't fly anywhere past Little League. You know that. Coach, I couldn't see the ball as a son.
Whatever. I don't care.
Okay.
We fucking beat the shit out of these guys.
Russell Wilson can only do whatever they want to.
Russell
Wilson only threw to 3 receivers. There were reasons, but forget about that.
All right. Anyways, we overcame 13 penalties, which were 132 yards, and you never want to penalize yourself the length of the field. That's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, so
the fact that we
Yeah, the fact that we still scored this many points and our defense hung in tight with an Eli Manning, John Coughlin, you know, offense.
A John Coughlin offense?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, cool. Is his brother coaching now or?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere.
I don't know. I thought maybe Tom Coughlin got too red and they had to import a new Coughlin.
You can never get too red. Shanahan set that precedent, man.
There's a reason he coaches the Redskins.
Who's redder? Shanahan
and a red off?
Coughlin. Yeah, let's have a red off.
How mad are they? Because that's the question.
Jay Cutler just threw his third interception.
Oh, and Tiki Barber just fumbled for the third time?
Yes.
Oh, that's equal mad. I think that overall Shanahan gets redder as like his whole face, but I think the intensity of the patches of red on Coughlin gets more like he was stranded in Antarctica for like 6 weeks with no face mask.
And I think Shanahan's a little more tan than Coughlin is, yeah. So the contrast on Coughlin is way more, you know, right. The white and the red rather than just the tan and the red. So
exactly,
safe to say Coughlin wins the red off. Is that an agreement?
Yeah, he's a commie.
All right. Yeah. Way to go. You won something.
Some new foundation.
There you go. But, you know, one of the things that I was impressed with, the thing I was impressed with the most was, you know, we seem to, just because we're a Peyton Manning team, we've seemed to come across as this soft, like, run and gun type of offense team, you know, a finesse team. Yeah, a lot of AFC bloggers have kind of called us a soft AFC, you know, a run and shoot kind of team. You know, not the most physical team in the world.
Huh. Are they trying to, like, refer to Vickerson's belly? Like, what?
You know, I don't know, because people seem to think that we also don't have Jack Del Rio. Do you think Jack Del Rio is going to put up with a defense that's not physical?
No.
Not in a million years.
No, because who did he play with again? Oh, yeah, the Steel Curtain and Jack Lambert. I think he's got the big balls.
Yeah. So that was the thing I think I was impressed with most in this entire game, because when you look at our linebackers with Trevathan and Woodyard and, you know, Chris Harris and Duke Iheanacho in the secondary, these guys are hitting people big time. You know, there were a lot of big hits in that game. Yeah. And Knighton and Vickerson in the middle, with Wolf on the defensive line, we're punching people in the face, and it wears them down. Come the second half, there's just like kind of like you guys did to the Niners. There's just no will left.
Yeah,
like they don't even want to play. Eli Manning was the only one who wanted to play in the end of that game.
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, when you start wearing guys down, I mean, we ran it down their throats. We couldn't get anything on the outside. But
fucking ninja sit across from me. There is a ninja right across from me.
I had my beer bottle on top of and it was an empty one that I was going to put aside.
It was teetering, man.
On top of a piece of paper, and when I put my hand on the paper, my wrist was sweaty.
Well, there's still a drink on the bottom there, so yeah. There was some damage to be done if it would have.
Exactly. And so when I lifted my hand up, it stuck to the paper, and the paper moved, and the bottle fell over, and I tried to complete the sentence while catching the beer bottle, and I would have.
And I couldn't keep it together.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, you jelly them. Yeah. And, you know, it takes their will away, because when you get a cock jelly down your throat, you have no more will.
And that's all there is to it.
And that's all there is to it.
But to dominate on the road, going this far on the road, too, this is about as far of a trip besides Buffalo I think we could get.
Yeah.
And so to go over there, you know, we did not
get out. I don't
think
Maine has a team.
You know, we didn't get out physical even from the start of this game, which that's what a lot of people were saying. Well, in the beginning of the game, you know, Giants might be a little more physical. Not even close, man.
I didn't think that. Whoever said that's a fucking moron. I'll just say that right now.
Dude, I definitely read several things this week that kind of pinned us as a soft team, and I don't really get it.
Well, I think that little bit comes from, you know, the whole East Coast, West Coast bias thing. Everybody on the East Coast thinks they're fucking tough as nails, and they think everybody in the West is soft when we actually, you know, we're out in the yard one day doing yard work on a mutual yard, and the gal from New York goes, "Sigh, you Montana boys are just more physical."
That's the way it is.
I'm just, yeah.
I mean, even it does translate to football, because now we just dominated two East Coast teams, Baltimore and the Giants.
Yeah.
And then the other biggest physical game was the Seahawks and the Niners this weekend.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely a change. I think the West Coast teams or the Rocky Mountain teams are definitely the more physical teams.
Yeah, and Western teams.
I think this is probably the most physical Peyton Manning team that the NFL's seen, because his indie teams were not all that physical.
They were
very much a finesse team.
But they
didn't have Jack Del Rio either as their defensive coordinator.
Exactly. That's one thing. I mean, they did have Tony Dungy, and I don't think he's soft. But the thing is that they have better personnel as far as on defense, number one. And then number two, as far as, you know, being a physical team, you do run the ball more now, because you don't want Peyton Manning taking those hits. And so how do you extend the life of an aging quarterback?
You got to be able to run the ball.
Yeah, a la Terrell Davis.
Noshon actually had a 7.2 yard average per carry.
Holy cow. He ran hard. He was thumping people.
He was running people over. He had two touchdown runs of over 20 yards to the outside, too. So we're sealing off the edges. Our offensive linemen are moving really well. I know we just lost Ryan Clady for a couple weeks, but Chris Clark is the guy who played in the preseason. And, you know, he's got a lot of experience. I don't think it's going to be too big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you like to have Ryan Clady in there. That's stupid to say that I didn't. But
yeah, it was.
Well, it would have been. And so I don't think we're going to lose too much there. I think our run game is going to be just fine, especially against the Raiders next week.
Yeah.
But the thing I like is that even though they were playing us deep and they were sometimes doubling our receivers,
yeah.
25 of Peyton's 30 completions came to our wide receivers. So you could tell when they're giving you the underneath because he's using it a lot,
mm-hmm.
but he's still trying to take his chances down the field when he thinks that he can. You know, he threw several. You know, some of them fell incomplete, but he got one to Andre Caldwell that was pretty impressive, just like the one against Baltimore. So he's still he's taking his chances. He's not afraid, and I like to see that.
So let me ask you a question. You know, you'd pointed out that Russell had thrown three to his receivers in the whole game, and you just said, what, 25?
25 of his 30.
Right. So,
or two receivers and tight ends.
I'm curious, what do you think will happen when you guys face an elite secondary? You know, because we've talked about the Giants beforehand as far as being a secondary that was, A, depleted, you know, with Prince Akamura not playing.
But he did play.
Well, I mean, he was obviously not 100%. So
it was, you know, it was a light concussion.
And what is he? And what is he anyways? As far as a corner,
he's a pretty decent corner.
He's a decent corner, but he's, I mean, he's not a top 10 corner. And you know who else do they have? And, yeah, exactly.
Neither is average.
Yeah. Well, I know, but the point being is that you know you look at that secondary, it's you know mediocre at best.
Yeah, they're not the best.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, what do you think happens when you have to play somebody that has it? Is that going to take away your main option of your offense, or is that
I don't think so at all. And because I think Baltimore's secondary was actually pretty decent. You know, they're not great, but they had a head above. They have some guys that were there and Manning threw
guys, yeah.
seven touchdowns. And if you remember what Manning did to actually your guys' first team defense in the preseason, mm-hmm. you know, he had no problems moving the ball.
How many points did you guys score?
He had 163 yards on your
second. Yeah, how many points did he score? That was the question that I asked. So.
All right, well, anyways, that's irrelevant. But, I mean, he had no problem moving the ball against your guys' secondary, and that's all I can really say about that. You know, we've mm-hmm. faced you guys. I know it was just preseason. We haven't had a challenge like that yet. But, no, I don't think Sherman's really going to completely shut down Demaryius Thomas. You know, he's not an Anquan Boldin. He's a huge guy.
He shut down Megatron. But,
well, okay, good for you. This is the Broncos segment. So we're going to stop talking about your Seahawks.
No, I didn't bring up the Seahawks. I said against an elite defense. You brought up the Seahawks.
Well, because that's who we hold the precedent to at this point.
Well, there's other good secondaries. I mean, that's all I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chiefs have a good secondary. I was going with that.
I don't think we'll have a problem with them either. I mean, Manny will take anything that you give him.
Right. That's kind of what I was getting to. That's all I was trying to get to is that in this game, they have a better front seven than they do a back end. So you're probably going to attack that with your receivers a lot more. If you play a defense that, say, has a better secondary than their front seven, you know, Orange Julius is going to catch a lot more balls.
Well, I mean, just like you said in the segment before, we're just going to take what the defense gives us.
Yeah, that's all I was getting at.
But, I mean, all I can say is that we've faced elite secondaries before, and especially in the preseason, we didn't even have a problem. So I don't really think that a good secondary is going to phase Peyton Manning at this point.
Just a question.
And also just because we've had 2 years now, so the chemistry is a lot better than a lot of the secondaries we're going to face, even on our schedule. So
sure.
Our defense held them to 1.2 yards per rush the entire game. That was it.
That's pretty...
Like you could measure that in inches. 23
could.
Total yards, 88 in the first the first two games total. We got four interceptions. You know, a lot of that was because Peyton Manning had to try and do everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, this Giants team they were out of it by the second half, man. They were just done. They didn't even want to play.
Yeah. You mean Eli Manning had to do everything?
Did I say Peyton?
Yeah, you did. You got your Mannings confused. Keep your Manning straight.
This is why I got to do my segment first, because I have too many beer. See, man, this is a problem for me.
Hey, I'm road lagged and drunk, I still manage. Okay?
I can't even read my own handwriting at this point.
That's a function of the beer?
That's a combination of things.
I think it has to do more with your education.
That's a combination. But, you know, one of the things that did concern me was the yards per catch with their three top guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Victor Cruz. He had 118 yards. Brendan Myers had 74. He's a tight end. And Hakeem Nicks had 83. He was a big receiver. Gave us a couple problems. But, man, that's a lot of yards per completion. And I think that was directly because our pass rush was slow this game. We had a slow pass rush.
Yeah.
And Manning had a lot of time back there, which means our coverage was good. But the minute he starts, Eli Manning's great at moving in the pocket. And he can extend these routes a long ways just by staying in the pocket.
Of course.
And so if you can't get anybody to him and he's got 3 to 4 seconds to throw the ball, he's going to find people. You know, he threw for over 300 yards. And that was a little bit concerning to me, but they were also in a pass-heavy offense the entire second half trying to catch up.
Well, he's a top 10 quarterback in this league. If he gets a little bit of time, he'll pick you apart like any top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, you can't really shut him down too
much. And that's fine, but that's one of those things that you look at and you say, yeah, this is a part of our game that's struggling a little bit, but is there going to be a white knight coming in on a horse or on thunder, so to speak, here in a few weeks? I think there is if he stops speeding.
I think it shows how much we're missing Von Miller. Yeah. And, you know, when you factor in his sacks and how
offenses... right over the speeding?
And, yeah, I am. He's such a dick. Stop being a dick!
What a dick.
It's like going against my nature.
Oh, God. All right.
The veins start to throb.
I just thought you were going to be easier competition claiming you were all jet lag. You're sandbagging me today is
I'm
what you're doing.
I'm sandbagging you, dude.
Fucking asshole.
But we only had one sack all day. That was Danny Trevathan, who had 10 tackles. He had a sweet game.
Yeah. Nacho had a good game.
Yeah. Thanks for chiming in, buddy.
So I'm a dick, and then when I agree, I'm an asshole, too.
Yeah, Jesus. I don't like you at all.
I feel like I'm talking to my ex-wife.
Oh,
God.
Ew.
Do you want pizza for dinner? No. You're an asshole. Do you want pizza for dinner? Yes. You're an asshole.
Like, you got it. You need to vent a little.
No, I'm just making an analogy.
All right. So I guess my overview of the first half with our offense was we started out with good rhythm. Moreno was running the shit out of the ball. We ran the ball pretty well this game.
Yeah.
Our offensive line did a great job. And we finally started to click again in the third quarter. We found the run game even more. Moreno was busting off some big runs. We ended
he
up having that Welker touchdown.
Again.
He did.
Good vision.
He's a really patient runner, and it fits our running scheme really well.
Who had
and
that first fumble on your out of your running backs?
Monte Ball did.
Monte did?
Inside the 5-yard line. That killed our first drive.
The Canadian Monte cannot be dropping the ball like that.
Man, we went like 80 to 90 yards. It was long, and we were just rolling at this point, and then bloop. They couldn't do anything to stop us.
Yeah, you guys went just right down the field on that first drive.
Yep. Eric Decker bounced back with 9 receptions this game. So that was a plus.
Was there a pun in there?
No. but one of the things that I noticed that was really impressive this game was the blocking on basically our offensive line mm-hmm. and our receivers and tight ends. Everybody was blocking. Our downfield blocking was great, and that's what sprung those two 20-plus yards.
Had a big block on the one touchdown where he seals off the DN to start, and then he chips down to the linebacker or who else. I don't know. Maybe it was a safety.
Yeah, he was the key on that
play. I don't know. I was just more impressed it was 2-on-1.
And then Orlando Franklin was one downfield on the first touchdown run who sealed everybody off. You know, he's a big body to try and move down there.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of good things I saw on offense. And, you know, our defense just completely shut down the run. I mean, I said earlier, 23 yards. Knighton and Vickerson in the middle are just ridiculous. Our linebackers are too fast. And there was one thing that the Giants did in week one was they went to the flats and they had a lot of underneath type of stuff.
Sure.
But with the quickness of our defensive line to get outside on the run and with the quickness of our linebackers, they didn't have any of that all game. You know, anything that was open was in the middle of the field, and that was because we'd have to blitz to try and get some sort of pass rush generated.
Right.
And so it would leave a couple of things just in man coverage where we'd dip back into his zone, and that's when Peyton Manning really started to pick us apart a little bit. But, you know, that was, you know,
that's
you give him one thing, you're going to take another, and vice versa. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a function of Vaughn not being in there. I mean, you talk about the Cowboys' pass rush. At this point in the season, it's probably better than your guys is at this point in the season. So
yeah,
with more pressure, you're going to end up throwing a lot more checkdowns in the flat and things like that.
Yep.
And I think Rob Ryan's a little more aggressive in his defensive calls as far as blitzing goes. He blitzes more, so there was more stuff there in the flats. Whereas against you guys, you know, he had to hit those guys just a little further down the field because he had the time to.
Yep. So it's all about, you know, how you're trying to play the team and what you're given.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
play the hand you're dealt.
We had a couple of shitty penalties in the second half that actually gave the Giants a little bit of life.
That one touchdown drive, that was you basically took that drive, put it in a cardboard box, took out the Christmas wrapping paper, put it on it, and like put 3 fancy bows on it.
Three bows.
Yeah, each one of the penalties on that.
Jeez.
2 pass interference penalties, and then that person was a personal foul or
There was the taunting one.
The taunting
down inside the 5.
Yep,
we'd stuff them inside the 5 on a run 3 different times.
Yeah.
And then on the 4th play they ran, as far as a run goes, they ended up scoring. But,
yeah,
you know,
Brandon
Jacobs
finds a nut once in a while.
Yeah. But, I mean, other than the penalties and stuff, I mean, some of them, you know, they were correct, but the other ones were kind of horse shit. Other than that, to be able to stuff a physical run team that's supposed to be a physical run team anyways, you know, three times inside the five-yard line. That was pretty sweet to watch.
That team is not a physical run team anymore. It wasn't last year. It's not this year. That offensive line is not that offensive line from 3 years ago.
No, the age has hit them too.
It does. How many of their offensive linemen are analysts on NFL Network? You know what I mean? Like, there's just they're gone. You know,
more than people would like to admit. I think
exactly.
But you know, so the penalties were kind of a problem. But we know we had this crazy interception off of
that's just
Tony
luck.
Carter's back leg dumped right to Chris Harris. That was cool.
That's an Emmert bounce right there. If I've ever seen one.
But in the fourth quarter, the one thing I also noticed was everywhere Eli Manning was throwing the ball, there were three guys on him.
That just wasn't three Duke Iannaccios.
No. Well, Duke ended up getting hurt in the fourth quarter anyways.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He in the locker room afterwards, he was walking around. He said his foot was fine, though.
Well,
you know, Ryan Clady will be out a couple weeks.
You don't hurt a superhero.
No. And Robert Ayers, I believe, was the other one who went down, but we don't know what happened to him yet. Yo, we'll get more on that when the injury report comes out, but Duke will be playing next week. So
that's good.
Yeah, because he's everywhere, man. So was Woodyard. Wesley Woodyard, he's just still incredible for us.
I think
us,
Duke has really picked up the slack for No Vaughn in a lot of ways.
I think so. And he
flies around and makes plays, makes tackles.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of that'll transition right to talking about the Raiders game, I guess.
Oh, toilet bowl,
the toilet bowl participant winner.
Yes. Yes. But play that toilet bowl team.
You know, I actually did watch some of this game, as painful as it was.
You did.
And one thing that I did notice is that the Raiders are going to run some read option. And I think Duke is going to blow up the entire thing. I think he's going to pretty much quarterback eye everything out there, because Terrell Pryor is not going to beat us deep, especially with our cover guys and Raheem Moore back there. It's not going to happen because we can cover the tight ends also. So I think he's just going to roam around and Troy Polamalu these guys.
I think the book is out on how to defend the read option. You've seen the way that we've done it to both Cam and Kaepernick, and then the way that both those teams have played us. They've really limited these quarterbacks and their running ability, because you play that kind of mush rush where you don't come totally after them. You stay disciplined. You stay.
That end just stays there and watches. You let the interior guys try and deal with the run.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Colin Kaepernick's stats in that game, as far as rushing goes, looked a lot better than he did.
He had one lengthy run and a bunch of the very beginning of the game. Yeah.
But then you guys didn't give him anything.
No.
And so the book is out on how to defend the read option.
Yeah,
and those were on
scramble plays mainly.
He was trying to extend something because nobody was open.
Yeah, where he would spin out of something or something along those lines. It wasn't that we weren't stopping the read option. And I think that's exactly what you guys can do with Terrell Pryor.
You just make an adjustment on it and just you stay home and make sure you defend the quarterback. And that's, he ran it successfully. But again, this is against the Jaguars defense.
Right.
You know, I don't hate the Jaguars. It's just, I'm glad
facts are facts. They're the worst team in the
league. They're the worst team, man. Yeah. And I mean, the Raiders, they did come out at home. You know, they had some youthful energy. They're a young team. They're an organization that's on the up and up as far as what they've been doing in the draft and, you know, their management and stuff goes. I mean, Darren McFadden's healthy. Pryor is fast, and he's, making a couple throws here and there.
I heard one talking head say today that they're going to draft Johnny Manziel. They're not going to draft Johnny Manziel. Reggie McKenzie's not a fucking idiot. You said this is a team on the upswing because
this
they have
is
a
not
smart...
Al Davis coming in again.
No, Terrell Pryor is the last of the Al Davis picks.
He is, and they're making do. Yeah. Dennis Allen is, former Bronco.
Yeah, I mean,
oh man,
and I don't think Terrell Pryor is necessarily a dumpster fire. I think he's
he just needs some time.
He's maybe a half a step better than Geno Smith.
Yep, he was out of college a year earlier than he wanted to be. He still wanted another year to play in college. He's a young NFL quarterback that's going to need some time. I don't think he's going to be horrible.
Is he Jake Locker 2.0?
I think he'd be better than Jake Locker.
Really?
Yeah. I think he was going through... I saw him go through a couple reads early on in the game. I think Jake Locker just looks... He doesn't look good.
I haven't watched the Tennessee games yet, they're winning. I know that much.
I guess we'll see what the Raiders can do against a decent team also. This was the Jaguars. So all these things that I'm going to say about the Raiders, keep in mind this was against the Jaguars.
That was their week one match. No, that was week two matchup. What was Raiders week one matchup? Who did they play?
Give me a second. There's so many games.
Because are they 1-1 or 2-0?
They're 1-1. They lost week one.
But it was to
Indianapolis.
And it was close.
It was close.
Okay.
So, another thing is Pryor is good on the read option, but he went through a couple progressions on plays, never more than two, though. So yeah. I think he'll get to that point, but right now he's going to be an easy quarterback for an experienced Jack Del Rio defense to contain.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to really have any problem there. Their O-line was pretty putrid. in their pass protection. You know, so every once
nice
in a while they
alliteration.
Yeah, I know, right?
They get pretty, pretty putrid.
But they got a good push in the interior part of their linemen. But do you, I don't really think this lineman is kind of bad, or this line's kind of bad, and I don't think they're going to get any sort of push against our defensive tackles whatsoever.
No.
I don't see the Raiders scoring a lot of points here.
Darren McFadden is a good back, don't get me wrong. But
yeah, he is.
It, you know, if you don't have anybody blocking for you, unless you're Barry Sanders, you're not going to make yards.
Well, and the Jaguars even contain the Raiders on the outside as far as the run game right. goes. So you're not going to get that anywhere. And so, basically a couple of keys to the game for me is we got to stop the run to be able to prevent the play action, because Terrell Pryor did make a couple of good plays out of play action, because that's basically a one or two read kind of situation. Mm-hmm. You know, you either got a tight end coming to the flat or a receiver just behind him, or even a two tight end set. Either way, I think Duke's going to be the key to the run to the read option. And I think Pryor is that he's trying to run a similar style as Wilson and Kaepernick and Newton and RG3, but he just doesn't have the talent or the experience or anything else at this point. So, you know, other than that, we're going to win that game.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot like the Hawks-Jags game. Like, what are you actually going to say? You're better at every single position.
We're just a better football team.
You're better on the coaching staff.
It's at home on Monday night.
Exactly.
After a big win on the East Coast.
Good night.
I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. So, well, there you have it, folks. It'll be 3-0 for both the Seahawks and the Broncos coming up here in the next week. That sounds pretty nice, actually.
That does sound nice.
Because that's precisely 7 wins away from almost a guaranteed playoff berth.
Yep. Oh, I guess one of the other things I want to talk about just briefly is that when we're scoring this many points in a game and other teams are playing from behind, it's given a lot of our backups a lot of quality playing time. In
sure.
real time, whereas, you know, maybe a year ago when we were, you know, 2-3 in the first 5 games, these guys weren't getting playing time at all.
Right.
You know, they weren't seeing any kind of action. So now if somebody goes down, it's not as big of a nightmare because these guys are going to have some experience. They're going to have some game time feel to them. So
right.
I like that happening too.
Cool. Yeah.
And I think that's it, man.
Well, very good. There's your docu spit there, folks. As entertaining as it always is.
Or wasn't. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. Enjoy it or don't. Fuck it. We don't give a shit. All right. Well,
it's probably a little crappy.
One way or the other,
that's what you got.
You better come back for the NFL segment because we have our picks, which we disagree wildly on this.
Yeah,
week.
we're on different sides of the bar here.
Yeah,
and we're also going to rank our top 5 lines in the NFL, I guess.
Well, top 5. I just said number 1.
Yeah, let's just do that instead.
Okay, that's good.
sounds like less preparation.
Are we going to do our top 5 picks for this week? Top 5 teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every cool. week.
Every week.
Every week power rankings.
Okay. The A5 power rankings.
Power rankings. Elmer Fudd.
Boy.
Think we could get Elmer Fudd as a guest?
We already have him, Jared.
I don't know if that was your creepy voice or your Elmer Fudd voice.
Jared, it was my Elmer Fudd voice.
That's enough.
You're right. Stay tuned, folks.
All
right. Welcome back, everybody. Time for the NFL segment. We're going to go over our picks here from last week, or maybe just the totals and everything. We're going to give you our top 5 power rankings, the AFOD top 5 power rankings for the NFL for week 2. But Jared,
totally forgot to do mine. Hold on.
Jared's going to write those down right now because I was actually going to start with that, Jared. So thanks for not doing your homework. Where did the dog eat it? What the fuck
just
happened?
Dodge it, man. You know who you're working with. Just go to something else.
Okay.
It's like the Jared compensation moment.
We'll get to that. So let's start a little bit here with the picks from week two and our winners. I was not the winner. I'm just going to put that out there. But honestly, I wasn't terrible. There was somebody that didn't even put their name to their picks, so they ended up with 7. It's a good thing you didn't put your name to it because now you've avoided the shame. But this is only if the Cincinnati score holds up, because we're actually recording this as that's going on. The winners, there is a tie for first, and it is between Jared with 13. So congratulations on that, man. I will concede that you beat me this week.
13's a big number. Probably one of the biggest numbers I've ever had in the picks. Who did I tie with?
Your buddy. He went to a Pro Bowl.
Greasy Pro Bowl.
Greasy Pro Bowl.
I got to give a shout out to the Greasy Pro Bowl. You were the only other guy who I know of that actually remembers that Greasy went to a Pro Bowl.
You should have seen Jared light up like a kid in the candy store when I showed him right before this segment, like the total from the picks. He's like, Greasy Pro Bowl?
There's somebody else who knows. So I appreciate that. Good, yeah. Broncos fan. And you also chose Miami, which was a smart decision. You and I were the only ones to do that.
Yeah, so congratulations.
Better than everybody.
Congratulations for being randomly lucky. So by rule, Jared, you get to pick the cover art on the Facebook page.
It's going to be all orange and blue
for this. So close your eyes when you go there. But if you do are compelled to go there, it is A Flock of Donkeys, D-O-N-K-I-E-S, on Facebook.com. We put the picks up. You can enter your picks each week. One thing that we decided about the picks, because we had a few people that didn't enter from the first week, which is totally fine. Because what we're going to allow people to do is throw out their bottom 2 weeks from the entire season. So we'll count up your totals for 15 weeks. So that allows you, if you forget to put in for a week, or you have a really bad week or a clunker, you get to throw that out. So you get to throw two out. You get to keep 15.
It'll make sense later.
Your top 15. No, that makes sense now. You act like I'm not explaining.
No, I'm actually just impressed that you were willing to tackle that at this point.
Yeah. We're
good for you.
Numerous beers in.
Oh, yeah, because we're dodging around the fact that I was unprepared.
Yeah, that too.
I should be applauding you.
I just riffed for you. That's what they call that in the biz, Jared. I just riffed. It's like if there's a weather delay at the game for like an hour and Bob Costas has
bring
to
it
make
out of
television.
Memory.
I just made magic right there.
All right, let's go over this. Let's get this done.
Okay, so, yes, congratulations, Greasy, Pro Bowl, and Jared.
That's right. We're the best there is out there right
Who
now.
Who came in second, though? We should talk about those people because, except for it's Dan Hill. No, we're not going to talk about you. You and your coconut milk buds. Don't like you anymore. And then also Robert with 12, longtime listener, zero-time caller, but he is a numerous emailer, and he's put in his picks for each week.
It's going to be competitive.
Two strong showings because he tied for first last week as well. So we'll
13, though. That's big time.
Yeah. So maybe I'll put a link so people can link into the final results if they just want to look them up themselves, because it's that interesting and everybody will do it.
Yeah. Later on in the season, everybody's going to want to know who's winning.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's a lot at stake,
especially
here.
If you're Leah. She needs to know.
Pride.
Yeah, at all times. So, speaking of the AFOD top five power rankings, which we were supposed to have done a while ago.
I have had mine done the whole time. You just wanted to bullshit, so I let you.
I love hearing myself talk. So, Jared, I just threw myself on the sword again for you. Look at what a great co-host I am. It's like how good of a wingman I am.
You know what? You have to be nice to me right now. You fucking destroyed me in the Broncos section, man. I was getting all pissed and stuff. I was like,
I unraveled.
Oh,
you
want to talk about the Seahawks?
No, I
you
didn't
even, but you did. I knew it. You were in my head. I knew that when you said elite secondary, I was like, he's talking right about the fucking Seahawks. I knew you were.
There's other elite Seahawks.
See? You just proved it. All right. Thank you. I'm not crazy. You just proved
they
it right there.
They both start with S, Seahawks, and secondary. They go together.
Yeah, it proves you're a dick.
Well, there's a lot of things that prove I'm a dick. So,
all right. Who do you got first, Adam?
Look, I'm a realist. I'm a realist, and I will look at the NFL as objectively as possible.
Number one.
And I see one team that has had two dominant wins. Only one in the NFL has had two dominant wins on the home and on the
road.
On the prairie and on the road. And so at home and on the road, that is the Denver Broncos. This isn't even my second favorite team in the NFL. I just tolerate them for you. And
you do a good job, too.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's not like I have like this giant Broncos love. But when I look at it, honestly, as a Seahawks fan, who I think we have a close case,
mm-hmm.
but I can concede, you know, a few things that have gone past the eye test over the first 2 weeks, and you guys have looked sharper coming out than we have, especially in execution and in overall discipline and all those manners. So,
yep. Well, I think a lot of it also comes down to the coaching. You know, these coaches are, this is the second year they've been together. Adam Gase is our new offensive coordinator, and it shows. I haven't even really mentioned that yet. You know, we're scoring 45 points
Gase
a game.
Showing.
So, but, you know, I think a reason we're number one right now is because we have these veterans who are working together who have been in the NFL for a long time. You got John Fox, Jack Del Rio, and Peyton Manning basically working together. Wesley Woodyard knows the defense. Champ Bailey's around still. I think it's just a lot of veterans who are pulling together some crisp, clean games at this point.
Yeah.
And we're just polished right now, whereas there are still some other younger teams who are trying to figure it out. So this is still early, but I think it's clear you have to put us up there right now just because of all that we just said.
Right. That was a consensus pick.
All right.
Yeah. It's like if an extremely hot girl walks by and she's a consensus 10, she's a consensus 10.
You give the guy aside from you
no
a
matter
nod.
What, no matter what your type is, that's a consensus.
That's the one.
Exactly.
All right. Let's move on to number two.
All right. Great. Because this is a good time for me. This was actually a very close second. but it is obviously the Seattle Seahawks. And yes, I'm a complete fucking homer, but you tell
me. I agree, though.
When you put the spank down on the team that everybody was crowning last week as the next Super Bowl champion, 29-3.
That and your defense really did. You know, as much as I love my own defense, you guys are setting the precedent as far as the defense plays in the NFL. You shut everything down about them. Cam Newton also in the week before. And there was a lot of hype built up about Cam Newton actually coming into the season about this offense, and you guys shut down two of them. You gave up 3 points to Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty impressive. And your guys' coverage has been everywhere. You're physical. It was an impressive win. Your guys' defense kind of stands alone at the top of the NFL, I think, right now.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Pete Carroll's always wanted to do. We're playing to our identity. It's going to be just fine. I
wouldn't be upset.
No.
You know?
So
Broncos, Seahawks, 1-2, I think. But I think we're going to look into that going either way a lot this year just because of the quality of your defense and just the quality of the overall rosters. I think it's going to be arguable both ways, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see where we are after week 8 and after week, 12 and after all the weeks, because that's what you do.
All the weeks,
yeah. These picks. But, yeah. So, cool. 1-2, we got that. Number 3, I have... still the San Francisco 49ers.
I do too.
Okay.
Just because I really couldn't put Green Bay above them because the Niners already beat Green Bay.
Right.
And that's pretty much where it is to me. I didn't see a team this weekend that was going to be better than them.
Right.
That hadn't beat them. So, exactly. The Seahawks are better than them, but I think the top two teams are really that echelon right now.
I think those top three are actually pretty close. I think we happened to thump them on a day that was just our day a little bit, too.
Even Al Michaels said that. I even wrote it down. What the hell did Al Michaels? I don't know. I texted it to you during the game.
He did.
That was just a good old-fashioned beat down or something.
That's
like
exactly
that.
What it was. That's
so,
exactly
I mean, the 49ers are number three.
I wish he would have said it was a mollywhomping.
I don't think they could say that on there.
They can. They said it on ESPN Radio out of Seattle, mollywhomping.
They clearly don't know what it is.
No, they
fans?
Do not.
Find out for yourself.
Yeah, Urban Dictionary, that's a good
check
one.
Check it out.
Might involve a penis.
Maybe just a cheek.
Yep. And, all right. Making your mark. But
anyways, yeah, number 3 is clearly San Francisco.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's your number 4?
My number 4 is the Saints of New Orleans.
I got Green Bay.
Okay. Well.
And then I got New Orleans under them.
Oh, so we're just flip-flopped.
Yeah.
God, we're real original thinkers. Wow, an amazing segment here. I bet you're all
just
stunned.
We broke ground.
Yeah. Although a few of you might be wondering why the Chicago Bears aren't up there, and I'd be like, because they're the Chicago Bears. They do this every year. They go, really well for about 9 weeks. And
they're still
the
Chicago Bears, Leah.
The wheels on the bus fall off. So.
Yeah. So those are pretty boring picks. Maybe we should move on to our picks.
The pick picks?
Which I will probably win this week.
The week
too.
3 picks.
Or at least
which
tie for the
I'm
victory.
Down 3 picks over the course of 2 weeks, and you're talking mad shit.
I tied 34
first
in both
week
1.
Apart.
I tied in both week 1 and week 2 for the win.
34 weeks and we're 3 picks apart.
Can't take away
34
a win.
Picks and we're 3
wins
picks
a win.
Apart. Wins a win. Yeah.
That was a lot of peas in one sentence.
Yeah. Had a pack of pickled peppers and PBR.
All right, so let's go over these picks here. And you and I actually differ quite a bit on these ones.
All right.
Which kind of makes it interesting because in the total number of our picks, it's going to kind of either level out the playing field or it's going to be a big swing one way or the other. And my picks are always better. So how you doing over there? You doing okay?
You're just cracking me up right now.
You doing okay?
I am. I am doing okay.
What's wrong with you?
I choked on my own spit, okay?
That's
this is going really well over here.
That's what it was. So, all right.
Yeah, you're making me fucking laugh.
All right.
Of course, there's only one thing that can happen with your picks when we disparage this month. Either there's going to be a big difference at the end of it, or it's going to be real close.
I just tried to keep those sentences going while you were over there struggling.
Sorry.
All right.
Well, don't say stupid shit and I'll laugh less.
Thursday night, we got Kansas City in Philly. Andy Reid going back to his home place.
Okay, so this to me initially was a really interesting game. There's a lot of plot lines, obviously, with the whole Andy Reid thing, Chip Kelly and his new offense, and whether or not that's going to be one of those things that continue on through the course of the season if people figure out a way to stop it. San Diego actually looked pretty decent against them. And, did a lot of different things to confuse them there. I don't know exactly how good San Diego's defense is, but Philly still, managed to put up 30 points. So I thought, hey, they're at home. This could be my pick here. But when it's all said and done, Andy Reid is coming back for revenge and he's riding his horse, Alex Smith. And he's coming into town.
Some quality analysis you're throwing out here.
And he's going to get it done. I believe in Alex Smith. I'm higher on Alex Smith than a lot of people. I think he was just done dirty back in San Francisco.
Well, he was, and all the offensive coordinators that he had, five different ones in 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to function with. Now you got a quarterback-friendly coach.
It's not his fault that his offensive coordinators had commitment issues, okay? Like, you can't put that on him.
Good friends with them, wouldn't I?
Yeah. You really would.
But Kansas City's just a much-improved team. They actually went out in the all-reds last week.
Yeah, those were ugly.
I liked them better than with the white pants. I thought the change was nice.
It was like a giant maxi pad running around out there.
But what you got to understand, man, is I've been watching this fucking Chiefs team wear the same goddamn uniform since I was a fan. Little bit of a change is nice. I fucking think they're ugly, man.
Look, I embrace change as much as the next guy. But
I hate
still
the Chiefs,
but
dude.
I still think the Jaguars have ugly uniforms, and it was a change. Seahawks got a change of uniforms. They have the best in the league now. So I embrace change. I embrace change.
This was a plus, man. The red pants, I liked them.
Okay.
But no,
so
the
that's
Broncos
why picking,
have the best uniform.
That's why you're picking Kansas City, is because they're going to go all reds again, maxi pad uniform.
What an asshole. No, I'm picking them because Andy Reid's a shit, man. He's got that whole team playing disciplined. Their defense is good. Their secondary is good. It's going to be the best secondary that we probably have to face all year, really, if you think about it.
That's true. Andy Reid is the shit.
Andy Reid's the shit, man. He's a good coach. And, I think Alex Smith having a quarterback-friendly coach helps. Okay. I think they got a decent run game. Enough receivers for Alex Smith to use. And I think Philadelphia and that Chip Kelly offense is just going to bite them in the butt a little bit, you know?
Yeah, they could. They could. So
I think that fast-paced offense has a lot of downfalls also.
Yeah, because it gets your defense back out on the field really quickly. But we both go KC there.
Yeah. Okay. All right, 10 minutes later.
Yeah, so on to the next game. Green Bay is that Cincy? I'm reading it upside down and backwards.
Oh, I'm doing this. Okay. We got Green Bay and Cincinnati.
Okay.
I got Green Bay, man.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean.
I thought about this, though. You should think about your picks. But, the one thing I did realize is that Aaron Rodgers is still better than Andy Dalton, and I think their defenses are actually pretty close. AJ Green is the best receiver on the field still.
Yep.
Maybe in the NFL.
He's got a solid argument, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, but I still can't go against Aaron Rodgers after I've been fucked on Green Bay twice. I better pick him to win. Green Bay.
I got Green Bay, too.
Okay.
For all them reasons.
Cool.
Same thing. I mean, I just don't think
Except
he's going to lose
to Andy
Dalton.
Except you haven't been fucked by Green Bay on your last 2 weeks of picks.
Nope, because I've been picking them right. All right, St. Louis in Dallas.
I think I went St. Louis here.
You did.
Yeah.
And I went with Dallas.
Yeah.
St. Louis, they haven't impressed me at all this year. I know they're supposed to have this stout defensive front and all this other stuff, but you know what? They haven't really impressed me.
And well, so, what do they need to do,
they need
to put on a song and dance? What do you need to do?
I don't know. Maybe play better, win. You know, I mean, they just don't do anything. They don't produce any offense. Sam Bradford is Sam Bradford. He is what I thought he was going to be when he came in. He's mediocre.
Right.
He's never going to do anything to flash. I don't think they're going to win a game in Dallas. I think Dallas is just better than they are.
Okay.
Tony Romo beats Sam Bradford.
So I'm going with St. Louis because I think that everything that you said about St. Louis is absolutely correct. And I also think that if you take everything you said about St. Louis and say it about Dallas, you are absolutely correct. I think this
is also
battle.
True.
I think this is a battle of mediocre teams.
I'm just trying to make my argument for a stupid pick.
And what I
this
know
sucks.
Is that mediocre teams struggle when a defensive line dominates, and St. Louis Rams have a better defensive line than the Dallas Cowboys, even if they haven't impressed you, then I think they're still damn fucking good. Chris Long is quality. This is a good goddamn line. This game is going to surprise people. It's going to be the St. Louis Rams because the NFC West is the best division in football.
All right. You can have your opinion, but just keep in mind I had 13.
I'm killing you on this podcast. I'm bringing the heat.
I had 13 wins in the last season. In the last week. What do I need to defend?
I'm current champion of this podcast.
No, you're not. Yeah. I'm winning the picks again.
Okay.
All right. Where the hell are we?
The next one.
San Diego in Tennessee. Tennessee has impressed me. Unlike the St. Louis Rams. All right. San Diego plays well, but two road games in a row, I don't think they got it. I think they lose.
Well, God, you're hilarious. Who did I pick here?
I don't know. Look at the paper.
Wow. Drink Oktoberfest. You'll have a great time. Oh, I picked Tennessee too. So,
I know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what you were looking for.
My pick. I couldn't remember.
Knew it.
Well, no,
Okay, why would you not pick Tennessee? Let's see why we would not pick Tennessee. Is there any reason?
Well, obviously, Mike McCoy has that team a more disciplined team.
Yep.
I heard that somewhere.
From me.
Yeah,
exactly. No, I'm just asking you to repeat what I said. Because I don't remember it.
Exactly. I'm trying to help you out. And I'm not your monkey. But San Diego has played a lot better. They have played more discipline.
Their offense is polished, too.
Yeah, they're getting better. But Tennessee's a bit unproven. Jake Locker's a bit unproven. But there's just something about what's going on there with CJ2K. And I do like Kenny Britt, even though he's a douchebag. He's actually a good receiver. And I'm higher on Jake Locker than most people.
Yeah, I'm not.
And it's at home.
Yeah, it is at home. And that's kind of why I picked him. Like, I just don't think San Diego is going to travel well in these conditions. I mean, Tennessee's played pretty well. They played Houston all the way into overtime and lost on a couple of magnificent catches. So,
that's true.
You know, I'm going with Tennessee because I think they're playing better than most people think. You know, they just didn't win. Sorry.
Okay.
So next, Cleveland and Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us, boy. Tell us.
I took Cleveland here. Because
so did I.
And this is super easy for me. Christian Ponder is the worst quarterback in the league. Move over, Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, worse than Blaine Gabbert.
Simply by being injured and off the field, that makes you better than Christian Ponder. He stays healthy and on the field, which hurts his team more. So that's all there is to it.
Yep, I agree. I went with Cleveland, too, just because Adrian Peterson cannot win you every game.
And I'm going to pick Cleveland every week until they win.
Just to prove a point.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't pick him the first week. I don't remember.
I don't either. All right,
next. That week out.
Tampa Bay and New England. Now, this is one that actually made us both think for a minute.
Yeah.
Even though it shouldn't. You wouldn't think that this game you would actually have to think about, but
well,
you really do.
On first blush, this is one of those games that you look at and you say, oh, this is a route for sure.
Historically speaking, New England wins this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing. You look at New England's first two wins. Have they been impressive in any way, shape, or form?
Not at all. They almost lost one to the Jets and the Bills.
Right. They at home to
Tom
the Jets.
Tom Brady's got one receiver to throw to.
13-10. It came down to the last few plays.
Yep. I'm
not impressed. Their receiving core is decimated. Tight ends obviously decimated. One's on death row, about to be decimated.
One's about to have another surgery, most likely.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
He will be decimated.
I think New England gets a little bit better than where they are now just because of the chemistry with some of these younger receivers. I think they'll improve. I don't doubt Tom Brady and Belichick. You know, you can't.
I
think that this is going to be a tough game for him. I went with him anyways.
I also picked Miami to win this division, and if they are going to win this division, this is the type of game that New England's going to have to lose. Little like unexpected, but it's kind of realistic.
Okay.
Going Tampa Bay.
That makes sense.
Well, you don't have to get mad about it and kick your mic stand.
This fucking mic has been in my way all day.
You've been doing battle with that mic stand.
Oh, man. It's going to hit me in the teeth, man. It's going to win that battle.
You taking martial arts classes or something? Jesus, you're fucking Bruce Lee in that thing.
No, I think it's Bruce Lee in me. I need a little Chuck Norris in me. All right, next game. We differ on this one. Arizona and New Orleans. And if everybody remembers correctly, which I shouldn't have even brought it up because nobody probably remembers, I said I'm going to go with Arizona until they lose.
Yeah, that was stupid.
I'm going. But I picked them and you did not last week.
Yeah,
I won the pick.
That was still stupid. You got lucky.
I won the pick.
The New Orleans Saints will easily crush the Arizona Cardinals at home.
You're going with the Browns until they win. I'm going to remember that. You said it. Shave your eyebrow, asshole.
No, I'm going with the Browns until they win.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I don't, I have to shave an eyebrow?
No.
Okay, just good. Because
stick
that would be,
with it.
I wouldn't take that bet.
But anyway. I mean, this is a tough pick, though. You know,
no,
to have to pick Arizona in this game. I didn't realize they played New Orleans next week when I said that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Next time you make those proclamations, you might start looking at the schedule first.
Dude, they're going to win this game.
Okay. No, they're not.
what you got against it?
Everything.
All right.
Because you're fucking wrong.
That's fair.
It's Drew Brees versus Carson Palmer.
All right.
And I said his name right, so you know I'm right.
Wow.
Yeah.
First time.
I've been strong today.
Yeah, a lot stronger than me. Wasn't it?
You need some do better.
All right. Detroit in Washington.
I think we differed on this one as well.
We did.
I think I went Detroit.
You did.
Because Washington's fucked me 2 weeks in a row.
They have.
And there ain't no fury like the wrath of a lover scorn, you know?
There's not.
So.
I'm in Washington. I think this is going to be the first game that they actually play well. you know, I don't know how consistent they're going to be if they continue it, but they're at home. They've struggled. I think this is one game where Shanahan finally, you know, hits his players in the nuts a little bit. It's like, we have to play well for a game. And I think they win this game. Shanahan does this, man. I don't think Detroit's all that good.
He hits his players in the nuts and yeah, then they start winning.
But I think they win this game because I don't think Detroit's good and Reggie Bush is out.
Yeah. Well, although they said he could play this week.
I doubt it.
They said he might.
Yeah. He's not Reggie Bush play, Reggie Bush don't play. He'll be like 80%.
That's true. There are percentages to Reggie Bush's availability.
That's why Washington wins this game.
Just
for
ask
sure.
Kim Kardashian.
But she don't know.
His availability varies.
All right. So next game, also a tough one. Giants in Carolina.
Giants in Carolina. I'm thinking about this because I know what I picked originally. And no, seriously.
Sure.
After watching the Denver game, you know, I got to thinking about Eli and Big Blue. And how
no, did you? That's nice. I got to thinking
try
about
to tell
guys.
A story, Jared. Like,
it's very sentimental.
Can't you just sit and listen?
Yeah, I'm going to absorb this.
Okay, good, because I was going somewhere with this. So I sat down. I was thinking of Eli and Big Blue. And I thought to myself.
He lives by himself.
Tom Coughlin doesn't lose three fucking games in a row. Tom Coughlin doesn't lose three fucking games in a row.
No, he's not.
Not at the beginning of the season. He might do that when it's crunch time, but this is the beginning of the season. This is one of those weird games where they beat somebody that has looked better in 2 weeks and has a better record. So those are all my thoughts right before, but I'm still going with Carolina because they're the better team. That defensive front seven is going to have Manning on his back. That offensive line is not what it used to be. Carolina is going to unleash the beast, and they're going to win this game.
I don't think so. I just don't. I think the Giants are going to win this game because Tom Coughlin doesn't go 0-3 to start a season.
Right.
Based on just that, there's no way.
Yeah.
Giants are winning this game.
Okay.
All right.
I based it on the like players that play on the field, like the front seven.
That's cool.
Okay, I was just saying.
Houston and Baltimore. My picks are bomb. I know what I'm picking here.
Houston, that can go one or two ways.
Houston and Baltimore. In Baltimore.
Well, you know how much I fucking hate Baltimore. And
they're going to screw you again. They screwed you last week, and they'll screw you again.
They didn't screw me the first week when I picked them to lose. Just saying.
This will be 2 out of 3.
And you know what 2 out of 3 is? Ain't bad. So
they'll screw you 2 times out of 3 games.
Oh, no. I thought you mean they're going to go 2 out of 3.
No.
Because that's what's going to happen because the Houston fucking Texans are going to beat them on the road because.
You're going to say Astros, were you?
No.
All right. That's what I would have done.
I was going to say Oilers.
All right.
I was totally buying time there. I'm not
going to
lie.
That's just as good. I caught it. I was like, where was he going with that?
Yeah. All I could think was Oilers and Earl Campbell. So I look at this. Houston has a great passing team. You know, Andre Johnson, their entire receiving core. They're good front to back. You know, Owen Daniels. I guess, Walter. That's the white kid. That's a good...
Yeah, him.
Oh, he is. But they're good. They got a good receiving core. Matt Schaub is a serviceable?
No, he's good. Let me tell you why I think Baltimore is going to win this
Thank
game.
Thank you. Because the wheels on the bus just fell
All right, because Houston played San Diego in week 1, and they struggled to get started. And basically, San Diego just completely blew a 21-point lead, and Houston ended up winning. Last week, you know, I'm higher on Tennessee right now, but I could also be wrong, and Tennessee could be a bad team. And Houston struggled with them. They had to come back into overtime to beat them. So I don't think Houston beats this Baltimore team at home. I think the fans are going to be rowdy. I think it's going to play a big part. I think Baltimore wins this game.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah, we will. All right. Atlanta in Miami.
Ooh. Yeah, that's the noise.
Miami.
I was thinking the Will Smith song.
I got Miami in this one. You know, I watched them play in the Andrew Luck Tannehill kind of battle, and Miami's not going to make a lot of mistakes. They're not going to hurt themselves. I think at home they'll be fired up after this last win. I think they're just going to beat Atlanta.
Okay, so when I would go with a gut pick, this is what a gut pick would look like to me because Miami is that team that I picked to win the AFC East. I also think that the fucking Falcons are probably my third most hated team in the league. And so I would pick against them just because I fucking hate them. And so I see all of their negative flaws tenfold.
But with all that said, I'm trying to take my gut out of the equation.
I went with gut on every single pick this week.
So I'm going to go with my rational brain on this. I'm picking the Atlanta Falcons. They are the more complete team. They have more offensive weapons. You tell me on that Miami Dolphins team who's going to stop Julio Jones, Rodney White, and Tony Gonzalez. No one. That's who. Atlanta Falcons win this game on the road. That's how it's going to go down.
No way. Falcons are a dome team. It's going to be hot down in Miami. It's going to be hot as shit down there. They're not going to handle that well.
So they practice in the dome?
Miami at home.
Okay.
Buffalo at the Jets.
Well, an NFC East barn burner here, you know.
Buffalo, I can't wait to see this game.
This was easy to me. I think the only thing I said to you when we went over these picks was EJ Manuel, Bills.
Buffalo. Yeah, this is an easy one. Jets are still a mess despite their win.
Right.
You know.
So we agree.
Fuck yeah. Wow.
Jesus.
Fuck the Jets.
Yeah.
All right. Indianapolis and San Francisco.
See, at first this seemed like an easy game to pick, and then I started to think about it a little bit more, like I do all these picks. And San Francisco's going to be fucking pissed after this last game.
They're going to be pissed. And Indianapolis, they're not very good. They have Andrew Luck. They got some receivers.
Their defense isn't that good.
They have an okay running game, but yeah, their defense is not good.
Yeah.
The
49ers are the superior team in almost every position group. They're going to be angry. They're going to be at home.
This is the type of game that Colin Kaepernick will really go off on a defense like this.
Right.
You know, they're slow. They're not as quick to the edges, and he gets there quick. So, right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now we got Jacksonville and Seattle.
Jacksonville.
Seattle. No. Yeah, Seattle. This is not even a fun game to watch.
Okay. We don't need to talk about this. We talked about it before.
No.
Okay, cool.
All right. Chicago in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Sunday night.
This was actually extremely easy. The Pittsburgh Steelers are in shambles. They are currently down 20-10 as we speak. And they're in shambles at the same time.
Yep. Chicago.
Tough for them. So, Chicago.
Easy pick. Yeah.
All right. And Monday night game.
Oakland, Denver.
Barn burner.
Yeah.
Denver.
Yeah, easy
enough.
We talked
about it. Yeah. Okay, very good. All right, folks, so get in your picks. I'm going to put them up on the Facebook page, A Flock of
Donkeys. You guys got a lot to compete with, man. 13 for me and Greasy Pro Bowl.
You love to measure, don't you, Jared?
13, man.
Okay,
13. It's a big number.
Depends on the increment. So in this case, get in your picks. I'll put them up on the Facebook page, A Flock of Donkeys, D-O-N-K-I-E-S. Get on there. Put them in there. For those of you who missed, remember.
Get on there and put them in there.
And for those of you that missed, we're going to throw out 2 weeks of picks, so get them back in even if you forgot last week. So, anyways, with that said, Jared, whether it's in John Elway or John Schneider, there's only one other thing to say.
In John's we trust.